An interesting thing, if you're visiting with us today, we finished going through the entire book of 1 Corinthians, verse by verse, over many, many Sunday mornings, and now we are embarking on a verse by verse study of the book of Philippians. And at the same time, our Sunday school, our Sunday morning Bible study, is embarking on a deep dive Bible study of the book of Philippians. So if you have not come on Sunday morning at 9:30, it would be great if you would check that out, because there's only so much you can cover in a sermon, and it's important for us to really get a handle on the book of Philippians. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians, if you recall, was sort of a corrective letter. Paul loved the Corinthian church, but the Corinthian church, let's be blunt, were kind of messed up. They claimed the name of Jesus Christ, but they had sort of gone off the rails. So Paul loved them enough to send them a very corrective letter. Philippians is a little different. In my Bible, in the introduction, it says, Philippians overflows with joy and thanksgiving. The Philippian church, one that Paul had founded, was doing very well. They were doing very well in spite of opposition, and they were a joy to him. And like the Psalms, or the song that we sang this morning, "Take My Life and Let It Be," that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a joy to the Lord when he looks down and sees what we're doing. And the Philippians were that to God. So Philippians, we're going to cover verses 12 through 18. If you have your Bibles, it would be great if you would turn to Philippians, the first chapter. And it teaches us about the advancement of the gospel really is at the center, or should be at the center of our ambitions. As Paul began to write the body of the letter, he wanted them to know that despite his imprisonment, the gospel was in advancing. So as we go to the word of God, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you give us the word for our instruction. You give us the word for our correction. You give us the word so that we might become more like your son. So as we delve into the word of God, we pray, Father, that hearts would be opened and minds would be open to consider and apply the teachings of the Apostle Paul. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Paul wants them to know about the gospel. Now, Paul gets in trouble a lot. I don't know how much Old Testament or New Testament have you read. Paul is always getting into trouble. He's always causing trouble. And if that is by preaching gospel where it's not welcome, and he gets in trouble. They talked about it in the class this morning. He's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. He's been everything. And in spite of all that, he has one laser focus. And that is Jesus and the advancement of Jesus' message. So Paul leads right in with what he consistently places as first importance. Let's look and see in the first couple of verses. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. See, the book of Philippians, we're pretty sure, was written when Paul was in prison. There's a little bit of debate of which time he was in prison, because Paul got thrown into prison a lot. But we pretty well believe that he was in Rome, and he was under a Roman guard, and he's in prison. And if you look at that text, he sounds like he's pretty happy about that. But why? Why is he happy? Because the gospel's getting preached, because of his situation. And that's what he's going to keep coming back to, advancing the gospel. See, Paul is always about the business of to bring more people to Christ, as we should be. Where would he have gotten such a crazy idea? We only need to look at the words of Jesus himself. I want you to think for a moment, if you were going to visit with somebody, if you were going to see somebody, and you knew that this was the very last time you would ever see them. They're not dying and you're not dying. It's just you're not going to see them ever again. Of all of the things that you would share with them and tell them, do you think it likely that you would try to pick the most important thing? What is the most important thing I can share with this person as they go out into the world? What do they really need to know? Well, just before Jesus went to heaven, this is what he decided was the most important. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now listen, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. A couple of verses later, he ascends to heaven. So Paul understood, and we should understand, that of all the things that we're supposed to do, all of the personal traits that we're supposed to display, all of the light and life to the world that we're supposed to do, and all of the personal attributes of purity, all of those things are important. We should do those things. But Jesus said, last time, I'm going, here's the one thing you guys need to remember. You need to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now let me clarify, that does not say go and make converts. Now, what's he talking about? Isn't a convert and a disciple the same thing? No, they're not. Now, you have to be a convert to become a disciple, but the word disciple literally means a student and a follower. So when it says go and make disciples, it means what Paul ended up doing. This is what Paul understood was his mission. Not only am I supposed to go out and preach the gospel and get people to accept Christ, then I'm supposed to bring them along. I'm supposed to help them and guide them into discipleship. I'm supposed to show them what it means to be Christ-like. And I can do that as a display of my life. I can do that with my words. And as we found out in the book of Corinthians, I can do that in a little bit of correction. Because what Jesus' command here was to go and make disciples. No matter what, the most important thing Jesus said is to go and make disciples. Now, the rest of it's important too. And it says, go and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So look at the sequence. Go. Now, go doesn't mean you have to go on a missionary journey like Paul. It doesn't mean you have to go to Africa and India and Russia, which I've done. It doesn't mean you have to do that. Go simply means get up off your pew and go wherever you can go and make disciples. How do you make disciples? You tell them about Jesus. You tell them why they need Jesus. And if they accept Jesus, then you have a responsibility, as Paul felt that he had for all these churches he founded. He felt a responsibility to bring them along. That's why he wrote the book of Corinthians. That's why I think that for Paul, this book, this letter to the Philippians was a relief to him, because now he could write to a church that are actually becoming disciples. And they give him joy. And his joy is not pride. We need to be clear on that. His joy is not pride. He is joyful because people that he brought to Christ, because he founded this little church, people that he brought with Christ are displaying the traits of Christ fellowship. They are becoming Christ-like. They're doing what it is that Paul has taught them to do. That's what it means to be an evangelical. If you listen to the news today, they throw that around quite a bit. Well, there's the evangelicals and then there's these, and everybody gets pinned with a label, right? So let me tell you what an evangelical is. If Christ's final command was to lead people to him, Paul understood that this was his marching orders, and it's ours, too. In his book titled Battling Unbelief, John Piper tells the story about Charles Simeon, who was a great pastor in the Church of England for 54 years at Trinity Church in Cambridge. Here's the interesting thing. He was appointed to his church by a bishop against the will of the people there. They opposed him. Not because he was a bad preacher, but because he was an evangelical. He believed, this is what an evangelical is, he believed the Bible, and he called for conversion and holiness and world evangelization. For 12 years, the people refused to let him give the Sunday afternoon sermon. During that time, they boycotted the Sunday morning service, and they locked their pews so that no one could sit in them. Oh yes. In that day, there were little doors on the pews, and you paid a fee, and that was your pew. And you marched the family down on Sunday morning, and you unlocked your pew and escorted everybody in. You closed the door. This guy's talking about, well, we're supposed to go out and make disciples. Well, I am not having any of that, so they left the pews locked. So what did he do? He preached in the aisles for 12 years. Simeon began with 12 years of intense opposition, and he lasted for 54 years. He was committed to Christ, and he endured for the sake of advancing the gospel. Simeon was a little bit like the Apostle Paul, who endured everything, all kinds of hardship, for the sake of advancing the gospel. Do you see how important this is, the advancement of the gospel? You see, the folks at Philippi might be like concerned because they loved Paul. He started the church, and they were really doing well in the word. They still had persecution, but they were doing pretty well. And Paul, their mentor, their founding father, is locked up in prison. So they're concerned, and he's trying to tell them, no, relax, because the number one most important thing is doing well. See, Paul became a Christian a few years after Jesus was crucified, and he served the Lord Jesus Christ zealously and unceasingly for almost 3 decades. He planted almost a dozen churches. He preached innumerable times, and he wrote 13 letters that are in the canon of the New Testament in the Bible in your hands. At one point along the way, Paul, who was a missionary primarily to the Gentiles, instead of traveling,